happened in the NFL, man, it has been crazy. But, you know, we're just going to get right into it. Talk about all the latest things going on, debates, everything, all the way leading up to the Super Bowl, where, sadly, Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady will be going against each other for the tiebreaker, 2-2 against each other. So let's get into it, man. Let's talk about the past couple games of playoffs. Divisional round, AFC, Chiefs and the Browns was a crazy game. Bills and Ravens was a crazy game. Let's go with Browns and Chiefs, man. We all know what happened. Patty Mahomes came out the game early because of a concussion. That's what they said it was. And once you know, the Browns started coming back, taking advantage of the not-so-good backup quarterback, Chad Henne. And they had a chance to go down, take the lead by two, and they choked. So before I say what I had to say, I'm going to let you, what you think of overall, what you think how that game went. Or what do you think should have happened, or, you know, whatnot?
Well, honestly, it what happened, I mean, is exactly what was going to happen. You know, Cleveland is who they are. You know, they're a good solid team playing against somebody who can score so quick, score so fast. They didn't have a chance. So, yeah, when Patty went out, they all going to make a comeback. Confidence go up. You know, you always don't think you got a chance. But once again, you got to give credit to the coaching staff. I mean, how they handled that, some of the plays they ran to hold them off for the end of that game. I mean, that's what a championship team does, you know. They don't find a way to lose no matter what happens. They find a way to win.
But let's make this clear. The Chiefs should have lost that game.
No, I'm
there's no way. That. There's no way that they never should have won that game. The Bills choked. Literally had the drive going. So you literally have 5 minutes to kill the clock and basically win that game.
So we talking about Cleveland, or we talking about the Bills?
We're talking about Cleveland now. We're still divisional round. Mm-hmm. Literally, the Browns literally had the ball back after they just picked it in the end zone. They literally could have just drove it down, killed the clock a little bit, scored a touchdown, kicked the extra point. They'd be up by two. But instead, what'd they do? They get a nice first down, and then later in that drive, what'd they do? 3-and-done. Decide to punt the ball. They decide to punt the ball, thinking, okay, their backup just threw a pick. We can get the ball back. That didn't happen. They punted the ball. What did Chad Henne do? I think he got – I want to say that he got lucky, honestly. That 3rd-and-14 run, he should have got blown up. He should have been laying on the ground. There's no way they should have got that 4th down. Or not even – he never should have ran that close to the sticks. And yet, so they go for it on 4th down, 4th-and-inches, run a little arrow route, get the first down, ball game.
You know,
so I think. What? Tell me what.
They lost.
The Browns should have won.
We should have won. That means you're a loss. That's losing.
Yeah, they did lose. They did lose.
So we ain't gonna factor luck in. I have Tinkerbell in practice all the time with fairy dust. No luck.
Man, it doesn't matter. The Browns should have took advantage of how bad Chad Henne is. He's bad. He's always been bad in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's getting paid.
He should have took advantage of him. They never should have punted the ball. But I also question Stefanski's play calling wasn't the greatest either.
Hey, that's the reason why.
On 3rd-and-10, you're running a screenplay? You don't need short yardage play. You need to go down the field to win the game.
Once again,
Like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game, Doty.
What do you do Monday through Saturday?
Prepare.
Evidently, it's something that they weren't preparing for. They didn't have no answers for. That's the reason why you punt in the NFL. You're in the short situation. I don't have an answer to get this first down. You know what we're going to do? We're going to punt, we're going to reset, and we're going to come back. It's a field position thing. So I can understand his thinking, and I can understand what you're saying, what the Browns should have done. But they didn't do it. So, hey, hats off to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I guess they can have their win. But let's move to the Bills and Ravens.
Uh-huh.
Very close game. I honestly thought it was going to definitely be – score was going to be a little bit closer. But the mm-hmm. Bills definitely came prepared for Lamar. Evidently, mm-hmm. he got hurt. The backup almost came – almost gave them a – got them in close range of the scoreboard. Mm-hmm. If he didn't overthrow Marquise Brown on that go route, definitely would have made it 17-10 and a very interesting game of a comeback. Bills offense, you know, they're – hit and miss, as always. Some days they're electric. Some days they're just very flat. But definitely their defense came to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, credit to the Bills. They won. Ravens finally got a playoff win. Lamar got a playoff win mm-hmm. against the Titans, who I thought were going to win. But, mm-hmm. you know, not everybody comes to play on Sunday. So... evidently, the Ravens won. Now let's talk about conference championship. Bills and Chiefs. Yesterday, last night. What I thought would be a totally different game. I think shocked everybody. Everybody thought the Bills were going to come in. Definitely have a shootout. Eventually went from one side to just staying on the other side for the rest of the night. Clearly, the Bills have no run game. Clearly, they don't have any run game. They passed, I think, 85% of the game. And they have a really good receiving core. Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely getting double coverage. So, you know, somebody got to get open. Nobody was getting open. So, either Allen was either running for his life or he running up the field. And there was a few times they were driving the ball, and then there were times where three and out.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs definitely prepared for their deep threats. They definitely prepared for Stephon Diggs, who only had like 68 yards in the game. Now, I think if the Bills had a better running game, I think they maybe probably would have scored maybe one or twice months more. Or that maybe would have helped balance their offense more. Maybe disguise some different things, but I hate giving them credit, but you know, they just came to play. Simple as that. Chiefs came to play. Patty Mahomes came to play. And now they're in the Super Bowl again, which I don't like seeing or hearing, but they're in it. So, I mean, there's not much you can say. They came to play. They were ready to play. And, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Bills defense, right? Yeah, that you know, they've done their thing this year. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, I really thought their defense was going to play a lot better. Clearly, they didn't.
Yeah, well, no, their defense has been doing what they've been doing all year.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, the Bills' that defense actually played good to hold Kansas City to many points they did at first. But then once, you know, certain things started happening and they had to start taking certain risks, Kansas City was ready for the risk. You know what I'm saying? They were ready for the blitzes and some of the stuff that they done. Because, you know, Buffalo normally sit back and play a lot of zone. No, they took the risk of trying to, you know, come after Patty. But that's the thing with Kansas City.
It's hard leaving their receivers and tight ends one-on-one because somebody going to get exposed.
Exactly. So, I mean, I can't say the Bills done. I think the Bills done everything they needed to do to win that game. I just think some of the mistakes that were made down the line forced their hand for them not to stay in the game. You know, I don't really think Kansas City come out to really outscore anybody. I think, and that's why I'm so fascinated with their coaching staff. If you notice, a lot of teams they should blow out, it's a close game. Teams that they should just go ahead and dominate, it'd be a close game. But then the teams that, for some reason, match up to them good, they just blow the doors off of later on in the game. And it's like, let's just stay in the boxing match, and eventually, they can't throw more blows than us. And, you know, hey, the result is what it is.
Yep, it is what it is. They're back to the bowl again.
Yeah,
so let's move on to the NFC side. Tampa Bay and the Saints. Third matchup.
You look like a true Raider saying that, too.
Tampa Bay and the Saints going at it again for the third time in this season. Saints definitely dominated both times in the regular season.
Yes.
So everybody thought three-peat. Drew Brees gets one step closer to the bowl. Clearly not. Buccaneers definitely were prepared for the Saints. They definitely showed defensively they were prepared. Tom Brady doing his thing with his old self.
Yeah.
You know, just him, Tom being Tom, throwing the deep ball, check down, run game was good for them. So, I mean, they eventually got the job done, moved to the conference championship. So, I mean, I was really sad for Drew. Not sad. I just kind of felt bad for Drew Brees because he's been these past, like, what, 5-6 years getting his team back in the playoffs, really trying to get past that divisional hump and, you know, trying to get himself another ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all falls apart. So that really could have been his last game, like, for real. Like, I mean, if he's really thinking about it. Or the way he was acting when that game was closing down, the way he was just responding to things, it really looked like, yeah, like, I'm pretty much done. Like, this is it for me.
Man, hey, when you hang it up, they hung up. So I can understand his mindset and, you know, how he thinking about it and everything. But, man, that's a long grind.
Yeah.
Your body, man, when you get a certain age, when you young, you can recover real quick. Once you start getting old, go to bed earlier. I mean, time with your kids is still, you know what I'm saying, the stress. Because, man, I got to recover, you know. It ain't the same. So I know football is what he's good at and what he can do. But now, that's the one thing I seen with Drew Brees this year. Football wasn't fun. You know, you could tell he was aching and he was hurting. And he loved the game, true enough. You got
have
a love for the game. But man, when your body start hurting and it ain't fun to wake up and it ain't fun stretching and it ain't fun throwing and it ain't, man, it's time to hang it up, man. The money's good, but Drew done made his money. Now, feeling sorry for him? No. I'm not feeling sorry for him, man. I mean, hey, every weekend you're going to have winners and you're going to have losers if a game is played. That's how it is. And some people win, some people lose. But feeling sorry for him? No. You know, it's a team thing. You know?
Yeah.
It's not about one person. It's a team. Hey. Hats off to him, man. Great career, you know. He got in one ship, and, you know, he was consistently good over the time span. He moved from San Diego to, you know, New Orleans, when a lot of people thought he was washed up in San Diego.
Yeah.
He still had a full career, you know what I'm saying, after that, you know. Came in when Reggie Bush was a rookie, and then left after Reggie Bush. So, I mean, hats off to him for a great career, but, man, I can't feel sorry for him, man. I mean,
he done made
his money. Hey, you lost? Hey, make your decision, move on. No feeling sorry.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, move on.
So, Packers and Rams went at it after Packers beat the Rams beat Seattle Packers were the one seed, so they had the bye. I knew the Rams weren't going to be that good going into the Packers. I mean, the one seed, you expect the one seed to just beat up on the lower seed. That's always the expectation, which, I mean, Packers did. Couldn't stop Devontae, couldn't stop anybody else. Run game was on point, as usual, for the Packers. Rams, I mean, not much to say about them. I mean, yeah, they tried their best on defense. Ramsey, being who he is, talking trash, locking down.
Locking who down?
I mean, Devontae wasn't really a factor until the second half, so, I mean, he was doing his thing for a little bit.
But that's clearly, why it's just missing the game. What you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
Talking about locking down.
I mean, he is a lockdown corner. He's probably the best lockdown in the game.
I'm not down here a lockdown corner. Did he lock anybody down in that game?
Yes and no.
It ain't no yes and no.
Yes, he did lock down Adams in the first half. But second half, Devontae Adams came back and was lighting up Jalen Ramsey. So yes and no.
Okay. Well, hey,
I don't understand what you mean. Did he lock somebody down all four quarters? No. I do see where you're coming from. I do. I understand.
You know how I am as a coach? It don't matter. Hey, you can rush and come back out second half. I don't care. 500. I don't got it. Yeah, it's breaking and the sound good. Not Malcolm, nothing about that. What you do second half?
Oh, man.
You already know, man. I don't care nothing about what you done first half. Second half, you were so horrible we lost this game. I don't care about what you done first half.
I got you. So, let's move on. NFC Championship. We got old man Tom, old man Aaron. Definitely probably who. Nobody thought Tampa Bay would even going to make it that far. I never thought they were going to make it that far.
Who?
Tampa Bay. I thought definitely divisional round, definitely a close game with the Saints. I thought it was really going to be Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. That's what I thought, but clearly they proved me wrong. Tampa Bay make to the NFC Championship as a 5 seed. Such a rare thing, too. 1 seed, Aaron Rodgers. I'm definitely thinking Packers definitely their year. The way they've been playing offensively and defensively, I definitely thought they were going to run the table on Buccaneers. But clearly I was wrong. Buccaneers coming out hot. Definitely they are firing on all cylinders.
I know Green Bay was a first, number one seed, right?
Yeah.
Let's be realistic about the conference they played in.
That's true also.
Chicago, those are 4 wins right there. Off the top.
Yeah.
So that division right there is gonna give you a good record.
Oh, yeah.
And then think about who that division played. So, yeah, they got a good record. True enough. But if you lock down Adams, you got the whole, you stop everybody, even the run game. So, I mean, you know, we got a lot of Green Bay Packer fans down here, and they was, you know, like to talk. And hey, man, I'm going to hear you out. But realistically, stop Adams, you stop them. Don't have nothing to do with A-Rod.
Yeah. Definitely. Buccaneers are definitely locking down everybody. Couldn't get nothing going. Second half, they flipped the table real quick. Got three picks. Definitely took advantage of those takeaways, getting back in the game. Then as the game's getting closer, what was it? It was 31-23, right? Down there on the goal line or in the red zone. Third and goal. Aaron definitely had some green on the right, but he chose to throw double coverage in the middle to Adams. Was not even a catchable throw unless he would have had to come back and go back in.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that for a sec. Do you think You think Aaron should have threw it, or you think he should have ran it and maybe would have got stopped at the one and definitely have been fourth and goal at the one? What do you think he should have done?
I honestly think with the coverage they were playing and where their eyes was at first, with initially, you know what I'm saying, locking on to the receiver, touch the receiver, and then look back, I think he could have made it to the end zone. I think he could have scored. Now, his decision-making in that situation, I don't know why he made the decision he made.
You know, exactly. Double coverage in the middle. There's definitely there's definitely people around Adams where somebody could have easily picked it, or they were definitely there to make that play. Yeah. So, I mean, there could have been someone else, but they probably weren't in his field view. So mm-hmm. It's either throw it away or run it.
Well, in that situation, Tampa Bay runs a very, very unique coverage. And if you notice, the backer was late going to the guy he threw it to.
Yeah.
But the reason why is because he has to drop at a certain angle, get to a certain spot, and start looking at what he is around him. That's why I said about his eyes. So if you notice, when he dropped back, his eyes were still, you know what I'm saying, looking for work. Rodgers could have ran. But him actually making the decision to throw that across his body, knowing that this linebacker is still looking for work, that's what gets me, is because he's a vet. That's a rookie mistake. And so I don't really know if Tampa Bay D-line got to him so much to where it threw his timing off, his natural timing, to where he felt rushed the whole game.
Yeah. Or
what it was, you know. Because, yeah, he couldn't ran for it, but he also could have, you know what I'm saying, extended that play a little bit. But I really feel like, you know, the D-line, you know, was a major factor in this game. And honestly,
yeah,
I have been talking about Tampa Bay from an offensive standpoint. But once I got a chance to actually look at who they had on defense, I have been sleeping on their defense. These guys got some monsters over there.
Yeah, they definitely do. They definitely were. Their D-line was definitely playing very well. Front seven, just in general, was playing very well.
Yeah.
So if he would have ran, he definitely probably would have got tackled at the one, or maybe scored. So he didn't do that. He threw the pass. It's fourth and goal. And they kicked the field goal. Because Matt LaFleur thinking, all right, defense has been coming back, playing pretty well. We can probably get them to go three and out. We get the ball back. And definitely go try and score again.
Mm-hmm.
Would you kick a field goal or would you go for it? Me personally, I went for it. Like, it's on the line right here. Like, this puts you in a little bit closer. Or if not, maybe just a field goal away or a few points away from getting close to where it was at, because it was 31-23, score a touchdown, you get it to 30. Mm-hmm. Or if you go for two, you tie it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you don't get the 2 point, your defense definitely has to come back mm-hmm. and play perfect to get the ball back and just kick the field goal and win the game.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Do you agree with the field goal? Trust your defense, or you think he should have went for it?
Okay, I got a couple of factors that I'm gonna answer that with.
All right.
First, the decision making right before that field goal with my quarterback, that's a vet, the leader of my team, that decision making right there.
Yeah.
Do you trust his decision making fourth in that situation?
Probably not, just because of the way they played in red zone that whole game. Probably mm-hmm. not, but game on the line to go to the bowl. I mean, you have a choice to trust him, but then you're iffy about it because you don't know if he's going to make that right decision after getting to the point where you've got to get it on fourth and goal when you should have got it maybe exactly. on second or third.
Exactly. Now, my next question, okay, my next statement. You know me as a coach. What did we talk about during the week and it ain't nothing that's going to go on that we ain't going to meet about first.
Yeah.
Now, this is really boiling down to situational football. So what did we talk about in that situation? If we talked about kicking the field goal, guess what we're going to do? We're going to kick the field goal.
Yeah.
If we talked about going for it, we're going to go for it. Because we're a collective group. Yeah, I'm the head coach. And it's my decision. But I'm not the only person in this in this organization. So what's as a coaching staff? What are the percentages? What are the numbers? You know what I'm saying? I want to know all that before we go into that game. So what did we talk about doing before the game? If we talked about kicking the field goal, we're going to kick the field goal. That's what we plan for. If we talk about going for it, we're going to go for it because that's what we talked about going for. We're going to live and die with the decisions we make. But we ain't going to get in that situation and we ain't going to sit up here and say, what should we do? Well, I don't know what to do. No. You know, that runs me hot. We ain't going to do that.
Yeah. It's crazy. So they kick the field goal, 31-26.
Mm-hmm.
Defense was right there, but they kept giving them too many first downs.
Yeah, but Tom Brady, that whole comeback thing was Tom Brady trying to start to force things. Yeah, he up, and you know he's a predator. So you know he smelled the blood in the water. He's trying to go and attack.
Yeah,
but I don't really think if Green Bay would have started, capitalizing on those turnovers and all that, I really don't think Tom would have kept making those choices, Yeah. I really think he would have handed out the ball, let Leonard Fournette go ahead and end the game for him.
Yeah. But what's crazy is that everybody's always talking about that PI call that happened. Kevin King. They're saying it's a PI grabbing the jersey. I mean, he definitely is inflicting with the receiver, trying to prevent him from catching the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's different than what we've seen in the past 4 years. Like the Rams and Saints game, what was that, 3 years ago? Playoffs? Mm-hmm. That's definitely a PI. It literally shoved him before the ball was even in the area. Didn't get called. And there's a whole bunch more that I probably can't think of right now, but I'm sure that have happened in the past 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I know that guy, he got burnt all game. Like, it's proof. There's, like, so many picture proofs of him getting burnt that entire game. It just wasn't the first time. It was definitely 3 or 4 more times. Uh-huh. So they were definitely picking on him. They're definitely waiting for that right time. So, yeah. I mean, they got the win. Going to the bowl. Now, I honestly didn't think that anybody before where we got to the midseason point, I never thought Tampa Bay would be going to the Super Bowl. I did know they were going to go to the playoffs, but I did not think they were going to make it that far. Like, honestly, I really didn't. I was really thinking Saints or Packers. Definitely. But I did not think Buccaneers were definitely not in my question.
Okay.
Who'd you have at your midseason point? You think it was going to make the bowl?
Cowboys.
Yeah, not the way they were playing. Not the way they were playing.
Hey, but no, I honestly, and I had this conversation with one of my good friends. When Tampa Bay went through they bye week, when they came out of that bye week, it was something different about Tampa Bay. Not just the offense, but the defense side of the ball.
Yeah.
No. And once again, I hadn't done my research on them, but I had started paying attention to, like, man, their defense is really, really balling right now. And for some reason, they started rolling off wins. And you know how. And let's go back to history. You know how Tom Brady is when, wins start rolling off. You started seeing his body language change on the sideline. First games, you seen him talking to players, really trying to get him up, fiery, fussing. But then you started seeing him as soon as he comes to the sideline after he scored a touchdown. It wasn't no hype or none of that. It was, give me my tablet so I can keep picking these dudes apart. What are they doing? Yeah. And that's the Tom Brady you see over in New England. This predator mindset. And once he started doing that, I told one of my good friends, like, man, Tampa Bay might end up doing something. Now, true enough, I wanted Dallas to, you know, make that run and everything. But in the back of my mind, I just felt like Tampa Bay, when they lost to the Saints the second time, thinking, man, these boys might end up being these boys the third time. It's hard to beat a team three times in a row.
It's definitely hard to beat a team two times in a row.
Yeah.
Definitely hard, especially in this league.
Yeah. And so that was my mindset about that was, hey, man, if they see them again, they're going to end up beating them. They beat the Saints. I don't think nobody else is going to be able to mess with them.
Yeah.
It didn't even bother me them playing in Green Bay because Tom is ready for the weather.
Oh, yeah. Especially playing in New England his entire career. The cold is nothing to him.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is like, the Buccaneers, literally last year, the Buccaneers weren't all that. Like, they were garbage. Jameis Winston threw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. Like, nobody thought one man could make a difference in a whole season in one team and help lead them to the Super Bowl.
Well, I ain't gonna say it like that because
let's just say he's definitely a factor on their success. Like he definitely helped them get to where they're at now. I mean, defensively, well, they were already somewhat kind of there. They definitely tuned it up, and Tom Brady definitely helped the offense just from like a vet and a like mindset point of like, okay, he knows a lot of things, and there might be some stuff we don't know. I mean, that definitely helped their offense. And you could definitely tell their chemistry in the offense a little bit was very shaky. I mean, they were still trying to get to know each other, definitely trying to get, like, the connection going. And then once it did, man, they just kind of just took off.
Well, what do a good leader that don't matter, don't worry about what people say or how he leads, what do a good leader do? He's gonna raise the elevation of mind thinking, I mean, everything, the standard of football completely changed with the right leader, you know, and then getting the guys to buy into it, which is easy for Tom Brady to do because it's Tom Brady. But some folks don't feel comfortable with people pushing the limits around them. You know, everything they do is scrutinized to be more efficient and more better. Some folks don't react, you know what I'm saying, the right way to that. And so I commend, and I'm not surprised because it's Tom Brady. Once again, he understood what it took to win. Yeah. My biggest thing is for the guys that was around him to be so young, but also to be so open-minded. So let's buy into what he's talking about and how he's doing it. Even the coaching staff that he came into to say, let's stop pushing the ball downfield all the time. And let's start looking at more underneath routes, crossing routes, you know what I'm saying, comeback routes. Because that's not a Bruce Arians thing. His thing is like,
vertical game down the field. Yeah.
But to see the whole team ended up buying into the concept of, hey, man, this man know how to do it. Let's just listen to him. Because you don't get that a lot of places. Nowadays, if you got a master's, you know more than anybody else. And you know how it is in this coaching business, man. It's egos.
Yeah.
But for people to humble themselves and say, hey, let's just hear this dude out. That's what's big to me. And I think that's the reason why they're going to the Super Bowl.
It's crazy. I mean, nobody probably thought they were going to make it to the bowl. I mean, for real, though, like, everybody's like, yeah, though everybody definitely made their Aussie predictions. Like, yeah, Tampa Bay probably will go. Just to throw it out there, just to be like, you never know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Chiefs, Tampa Bay, in Tampa Bay, which is crazy. That's such a rare thing. A team makes a Super Bowl in
the first time it's ever happened. It ain't rare. First time it ever happened.
Which is crazy. You never, who would have ever thought that, too? So,
I mean, I hate it because it should be in Dallas.
Bro, nobody wants to play in nobody wants to play in that Aquadome, man. Get out of here.
Oh, they moved the Rose Bowl there and loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, okay. I didn't love it because, you know, my team didn't play so well, but
should have never been there.
Yes, they should have. But you know, it is what it is, man. It is what it is with that team.
Exactly where they should have been the night that game was played, at the house.
It is what it is. All right, but now let's talk about, so now we know, got the bracket done. I want to talk about Brady and Belichick. Always been the question since Brady left, will Brady be the same? Will Belichick be the same? Because they've always said, oh, Belichick is the GOAT coach all time. Brady's the GOAT of all time. Brady's not at the bowl without Belichick. Do you think Belichick needs Brady, or do you think Brady needs Belichick? Definitely Belichick needed Brady this year because they went 7-9, missed the playoffs. Cam Newton wasn't worth anything. He had maybe a few good games. Definitely showing out in the locker room with his sundresses or whatever he likes wearing with his silly costumes. But I mean, at first the Patriots, I mean, they looked okay. I mean, they definitely had their games where they looked good in the beginning of the season. Then it definitely started falling apart. I mean, Buccaneers were on their game all year, except for a few games. Maybe they fell off. Definitely when they played the Saints, definitely didn't look like they were contenders. So, I mean, dude's 43 years old, 10th Super Bowl appearance. Playing with a whole nother team, first year with the team, helps lead them to the bowl. I mean, I feel like that makes Brady look a lot better, and it looks like makes Belichick needs Brady more than anything. So, I mean, I feel like, here's what I think. I feel like if Belichick had the quarterback that he wanted, I don't think he wanted Cam Newton. I think he just needed a vet that could just come fill in the role for a year. And hopefully just win us a couple games. I feel like if Belichick had the guy he wanted, that definitely would have been a totally different team.
I think New England's rebuilding.
That's what I think, too.
And now, you got teams in that division. I honestly think if this was the old division of old, Belichick would have won this division. He would have been in the playoffs. We wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Very true.
But Miami has shortened the gap.
Bills are definitely. Exactly. Yeah,
So you got two up-and-coming teams in that division, and you got to do what? You got to reload. And I think that's the reason why his big thing was, let's go ahead and get rid of Tom so we can start reload. Yeah, you could have had Tom this year, but would they have been going to the Super Bowl?
Definitely not. They definitely probably made it to the divisional. Probably would have lost.
Yeah, probably not even making it to the divisional because you got Miami, and you got Buffalo. Miami was on the fringe of going to the playoffs. And that offensive line they had this year, Ray would have been just like, I think, Drew Brees this year, talking about retiring.
Hurting. He got
beat up.
Hurting.
So, I mean, that right there, that talk between who to go and all this, I think both of them did what they supposed to have done when they was together. Brady had an opportunity to go and find a situation that was right for him. Belichick was still stuck with what he had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really think that talk right there, I think that's immature talk. Because what if Belichick would have had a juggernaut team?
Yeah. Still, maybe if he had what he wanted and they was very good and just maybe a mediocre or average quarterback, definitely still doing the same thing.
He was doing the same thing, but he didn't. He didn't have the best. He didn't have the best team in his division. So I mean, hey, you know, let us see what Belichick do when he reloads.
definitely see what happens.
Yeah, Tom went to one with a new team that he picked, right? And that got built around him. Let's see what Belichick do, because he won one. I mean, he done got back to one. But if Bill end up going to three more or four more or five more,
Very true. Now, let's say, do you think Cam will be back next year, or do you think they're going to cut him loose?
No, they need to.
He didn't even play. I loved all the hype saying, like Josh McDaniels is going to open it up more because Cam's there. He's more athletic, blah, 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 blah. And they didn't do nothing. They basically shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, but I also think with more weapons, because Cam is used to weapons. Notice what Cam done when he had a good tight end, a good receiver he could definitely go to.
Definitely airing it out.
Exactly, but do we have it right now? No.
I couldn't even tell you who they're starting tight end right now.
And so I think Cam would be a lot better with more talent around him. But we talking about building long term, right? We want to go on another 20-year run. I can't go with Cam.
Yeah, definitely not. Cam, I think Cam hit his peak when he made that Super Bowl, and then it's just been downhill from there.
I ain't gonna say that, but I am gonna say for what the Patriots are trying to do, I don't think Cam is something else.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I can see Cam maybe going to Washington, maybe trying to beat out Alex Smith for a starting spot. Or I can see him going, I don't know. Yeah, Detroit too, since they're going to trade or cut Matt Stafford. So, I mean, definitely a few places where he can go. Just have to see where.
Detroit.
All right, last thing I want to talk about before we close this thing out. I want to talk about some head coachings going around, people going this and there. I want to talk about Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs OC. Definitely when Black Monday hit and everybody who was supposed to get fired got fired, and later on everybody else got fired. He was definitely number one head coaching candidate on my list. He should have been on everybody's list. Dude's an offensive genius. I mean, look what he calls for the Chiefs, and look how formations, how they run it, how they perform. I mean, dude's great. He probably interviewed for every team that had a head coaching vacancy. Now, I thought he was definitely going to the Jets. I really thought he was going to go to the Jets to rebuild their team, pick whoever they wanted to pick, and that second pick, Trevor or Justin, or whoever they wanted. And just rebuild, because the Jets have a lot of draft capital, a lot of cap, so definitely know they were going to definitely sign number one receiver in this offseason, whoever it would be, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Juju Smith-Schuster, didn't matter who. I definitely thought he was going to go to the Jets. Then they hired Robert Saleh from the 49ers. I was thinking maybe San Diego, just because it's a division rival. Justin Herbert played great this year. They already have offensive weapons. Maybe just build around it a little bit more. Make them a super team, maybe. Then they hired, what's his name? Staley from the Rams. Philly's up there. I don't think they've gotten a head coach yet, I don't think. Maybe I thought Detroit. Then they signed Dan Campbell. Houston is still in the works. But Deshaun's definitely not going to be there. Unless somehow, some way, he convinces Deshaun Watson to stay. But he's definitely not going to be there. And at first, they weren't even going to interview Eric Bieniemy. They said, no, he's not even on our list, I don't know why. He should have been your first candidate anyways.
They was going to interview Josh McCown before they were going to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And then didn't he interview somewhere else? Or was that Houston? Only.
Now, I want to say he also went to Jacksonville before they hired Urban.
Yeah. Which was, yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit too. But like, just Airbnb in general, like, I feel like he's not getting screwed over. I don't think he's getting, I don't know what it is that people don't like about him. Maybe it's he got bad interviews, or like, he's not their guy, or I don't know, like, something had to go wrong in all of his interview process for him not to get hired when there were so many teams on the table that wanted him and interviewed him. So I'm like, not shocked, but I'm out of words. Like, I don't know what else, like, I could say. Like, I don't know. What do you think? Like, do you think he got screwed, or you think maybe it's best he stays with the Chiefs? I mean, Chiefs fans want him to stay, but he definitely, probably not this year, but maybe next year if somebody else gets fired. I mean, I don't know. What you think?
I don't know. I don't know how the interviews go. I don't know what he's asking for in those interviews. You know, in the NFL, you know, some coaches are also GMs. And, you know, they get to pick their products, who they want.
Yeah.
And some got to wait for a general manager to pick those products for them. And so, I don't know. I don't know what is going on in those rooms. And
yeah.
I can tell you this. He's not a guy who's just going, you know, you ain't going to come in, you know what I'm saying, tell him how things are going to be ran any kind of way.
Yeah.
He has a certain want to do things, and I think that's what Andy Reid respects about him. And the players that are around him, that's what they respect about him, because if you look at some of those players on the offense, those are rough around the collar kind of guys. And, you know, they don't have a problem with listening to him because he's going to come aggressive.
You know? Yeah.
And you know yourself, everybody can't deal with an aggressive coach. You know, everybody does not like how that coach talks, what he say, how he say it.
Yeah.
And, some folks can't hire that kind of guy. Now, I'm with you. I think a lot of people should have picked him up, but, you know, some owners can't deal with a guy who gonna tell them, man, you need to know your place and go back to your place. You paying me to do a job, let me do it.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah. We'll have to see how it pans out. So, Urban Meyer gets hired by Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Which was crazy. I never thought out of all the people to come out of retirement or even to be considered NFL coach, Urban Meyer, after having a pretty good college resume, I think. Pretty good college coaching resume. Definitely winning multiple national championships. Do you think he's the good fit for Jacksonville?
We'll see. I don't think he's ready to coach grown men. There's one thing to coach kids, you know, when you get them young and you can raise them, but these are grown men that you're going to have to pay. And if you know anything about Urban, he's a fly mouth guy. Very professional. But, you know, a lot of college coaches that end up going pro can't handle the fact that you got to talk to these guys totally different. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see with how the people in the front office, we know how they like to handle business. They want a military-like structure.
Yeah.
So they got somebody who comes in with that kind of mindset. Now I just want to see what players can they go and get to install that mindset. Because now you're looking at somebody who's going to have the Patriot way. That's how we do things. The Patriots don't go and get a lot of superstars.
Yeah, they don't.
Because of their mindset.
Now, Jacksonville's on the clock, number one pick. Real quick, who you think they'll take?
They ain't got a choice.
Who are they going to pick? T. Lawrence?
who else can they pick?
Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. A handful of names.
You trying to sell tickets, right?
Yeah, definitely Trevor Lawrence. You're trying to sell tickets. But are you trying to win games?
Right down the interstate from Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
He can sell a lot of tickets in that market.
That's true.
You can go get Justin Fields. But you're gonna be looking for another job pretty soon, or back working for Fox.
It's gonna be interesting. Offseason's gonna be interesting. The draft's gonna be real interesting. But see how it goes. Super Bowl's in a couple of weeks. We'll get back on that topic, get our predictions going.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that's all I got. You got anything for the people?
Man, I ain't got nothing for the people, man. Stay safe, you know. And look forward to seeing y'all again.
Me too. Definitely talk about some more interesting things going on in the sports world here in the next couple of days or maybe next week. But hey, keep tuning in. YouTube, subscribe, like, hit that bell, get the notification. Definitely share it with your folks. We're still posting on Anchor for all people who just like audio. It'll be on Apple, Spotify. You know, I know the deal goes. But yeah, just keep getting us out there, man. The more the better. It's two guys who just like talking about sports and getting a little untamed. You feel me? Oh, man. But that's all I got. That's all you got. We'll sign off. Man, you're all right. Who it is? This is your boy, Bubba.
That was Doty.
Hey, tune in. See y'all next time.
Peace.